Welcome to Changed by Love Radio with Pastor Jim Kevney. Pastor Jim's desire is to teach the Word of God with passion and simplicity, as well as a direct application to our daily lives.
God will keep conforming you into His image. You should be improving, okay? You have some steps back here and there. You can know, despite failures, that Jesus will be with you every step of the way. And this is the interesting thing. When you really read the Gospels carefully, you will notice this, that the people who know that they are sinners have the most hope because they know they need a Savior. And the self-righteous religious people don't have a clue. They don't have a clue.
When a potter works with clay, they constantly shape it until it becomes what they desire it to be. In today's message, Pastor Jim says God continues to work through you if you choose to follow Him. He's the only person who can give you eternal life. Following Him is a choice. Choose to follow Him today and allow Him to shape you into the person you're supposed to be. God's plan is far better than any plan you can make for yourself. Lean on Him and watch as you become the best version of you. Well, let's join Pastor Jim in the book of Luke chapter 23 as he continues his message, How to Avoid Death.
Many of you know the story of when Jesus was crucified on the cross, there was two crooks on either side. Okay, Jesus never did anything wrong. They lied about Jesus. The Jewish leaders lied to the Romans because the Romans had to do the death penalty. And the guys were both making fun of him. And one of them, all of a sudden, it just came to him and he realized who Jesus was. And he says to him, to Jesus, would you please remember me when you come into your kingdom? And Jesus looks at him and just says, well, no, you've done too many bad things. Look at you. You're being killed on a cross. No, he didn't say that at all. What does he say? Today, you will be with me in paradise. Now, let's think about that for a second. When they came down off that cross, Jesus, because he's a king, religious leaders didn't think he was, but somebody donated a tomb to him, was put in a tomb. The other guy was thrown down in the garbage heap. He was thrown down in the garbage heap. So you're like, well, how did they, that's paradise? You got to be kidding me. No, no, no. What happens? What? Their body went into the grave, but their spirit went to the next life. So Jesus says, you're going to go with me to the next life. And that's why, you know, when you're a pastor, you do funerals, and sometimes you stand up with a family and people are coming by and you know that person's not there. You know that they have gone on to the next life. And so it's an amazing thing. For the person who puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, Jesus claims authority over sin and death and offers eternal life. If you're not a follower of Jesus, I hope you're not missing this. And I realize it's a lot of information very quickly. Whatever we can do to help you, you can go back and listen to it again. We can... whatever we can do to help you to think about this stuff, okay? A commitment to Jesus Christ and the desire to live out His word will save your soul. These people will never be able to say, these religious leaders will never be able to say that they never heard the good news of Jesus Christ. They never heard that they needed to trust in Him, that they needed to accept it, and that they needed to obey it. And friends, this is a big concern for me for the United States of America. Because do you know how many people in the United States of America have heard the message of Jesus Christ and yet have said, not me, I don't want it. And this offer is made to anyone. If you are not a follower of Jesus, please, please, please understand this is offered to you. And here, death essentially means separation from the love of God. Now, we have this idea in the church of invite Jesus into your heart and to move on. That idea seems dead here because he says, what? If anyone keeps my word, what does that mean? A continuation of it. That's how people know, or and you know, that you are a follower of Jesus, that you continue in it. okay? That God has truly changed you the way you are. Once again, physical death, okay? The Bible teaches our bodies and the spirit, they separate, okay? They will reunite later on, okay? But interesting, the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes 3:11 says this, that God has put eternity in our hearts. There's something in us that knows deep down that there is another life. That's God's way of telling us there is so much more than this life. I mean, really, if this life is it, isn't it a little disappointing? Right? And God is saying, there is so much more of this life than this. And what is Jesus saying? I can get you there. I can get you there. Just trust in me and follow me and walk with me. I'm not talking about being some weirdo religious person. Just love me and walk with me. Jesus says, if you keep my word, the good news is you're not going to be perfect. God will keep conforming you into his image. You should be improving, okay? You have some steps back here and there. You can know, despite failures, that Jesus will be with you every step of the way. And this is the interesting thing. When you really read the Gospels carefully, you will notice this, that the people who know that they are sinners have the most hope because they know they need a Savior. And the self-righteous religious people don't have a clue. They don't have a clue. If you're not a follower of Jesus, please listen carefully to the things that I'm saying. Please go home and consider these things very, very carefully. If you say you're a follower of Jesus, don't take it for granted. Live it out. Continue to walk in faith with Jesus. Jesus is constantly offering people eternal life. Yes, we all physically die, yet spiritual life will continue into the next life until when our bodies and our souls are reunited. In John chapter 11, Lazarus was dead, and Jesus comes to his sister, says this, John 11:25-26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes, that word belief is more similar to our word trust. He who believes in me, though he may die, or even if he dies, some version says, he shall live. What did he say? Her brother is already dead. He's dead, but he's not. Verse 26, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he asked this incredibly important question that all of us need to answer today. Do you believe this? Do you believe this?
Yes.
You don't have to yell it out. That's something that you need to talk to God about. Okay? Do you believe this? Verse 52 and 53, the Jews said to him, now we know you have a demon. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Now, it's interesting. Jesus said, you'll never see death. They say, taste death. I don't know if there's a big difference between those two things. Verse 53, the religious leaders are going to get even more aggressive. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? Now, the expected answer is no, but the correct answer is yes. And the prophets are dead. The expected answer is no, but the correct answer is yes. Who do you make yourself out to be? Another version says, who do you claim to be? Now, there's not going to be no direct comparison. There's rather going to be a declaration that comes from Jesus. But the Apostle John wants the Bible reader, that's you and me, okay, to answer the question, will you put your trust in Jesus or not? Don't answer it out loud. This is something you need to talk to God about. But this is something that's very important for all of us to know, that if you don't say yes, then you have said no. We learned that back in chapter 3. We are born with the answer of no, and we must make the answer of yes. He's very clear. Jesus is very clear on that. You can go, we've got studies online about that. Basically, these guys are saying to Jesus, you're insane. You have a demon. You speak lies. You're not greater than Abraham. You're not greater than the prophets, right? Then they essentially say to them, listen, in case you didn't notice, they're dead. What's the problem? They're talking physically and Jesus is talking spiritually. He's talking about the eternal soul. They think Jesus is crazy. They're like, you can't save people from death. You're not God, but you act like you are and you think you are. But let's remember, who is Jesus Christ? John chapter 1, he is God become a man. Jesus, God, the second person of the Trinity, came from eternity, right? And added humanity to himself. He became one of us. Now, to me, that is one of the most comforting things ever. Because you go through a lot of trials and difficulties, okay? He's been through them. When we come later in the Gospels, Jesus is in his ministry. We don't hear anything about his father, right? His stepfather, Joseph, who he grew up with in the carpenter shop. We don't know whether they were wood makers or stone makers or something like that. But here's the reality. He grew up alongside that man. And Jesus didn't come out of his mother's belly like Goo Gaga. Let me cite chapters and verses to you. Okay? He had to learn the Bible. Well, who do you think taught it to him? His father, his stepfather. So he probably knows the pain of losing a parent. He knows the pain of life. He knows in his neighborhood that they all thought that Mary was pregnant before she was married. And so he was the illegitimate son. Remember last week, we were not born of fornication, right? Ridiculous. So he knows the pains and the trials of life. He knows what it's like to care for people, to bless people, and have them stab him in the back. All the problems that you and I have had, he has had. So you can talk to him about all of those problems, right? He came into this world poor. Why poor? Because to show us that he is open to everyone. He is open to everyone. And so he comes, but yet he's constantly talking about his obedience and his service to God. In verse 53, notice their question. You think you're greater than Abraham? Who do you make yourself out to be? It seems they're saying to him, listen, you don't represent God. In fact, you don't even believe in him. They couldn't be more wrong. It appears they're trying to get the fellow they knew as Jesus of Nazareth to back down from his claims, but Jesus knows who he is. Verse 54 and 55, Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, watch this, and I shall be a liar like you, but I do know him and keep his word. So Jesus tells them, it is my Father who honors me. You say he's your God. You don't even know him. And you're liars. All right, let's take a time out there for a second. Let's move over to the discussion with the apostles. This is not going well. This is not going well, right? He just keeps hammering these guys, right? And they're going to kill him. We know they've been trying to kill him, but they're going to kill him. And Jesus doesn't have one fearful bone in his body of these guys. Why? Because he is on a mission from God. To do what? To save your soul. And to save my soul. There's another big difference we see here in many places in John's gospel. He says to them sometimes, you say he's your God, but he's my father. That is saying, I'm in a different league of relationship with God than you guys ever could be. How could you tell? Well, the religious leaders want their own glory. And they disobey God in many ways. And Jesus says, you guys are a bunch of liars. We might say they lost sight of God. But yet there's something for all of us we have to think about. That's very easy for us to happen. When religion or busy American life overrules the word of God. Verse 56 and 57, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. So what's he doing now? Now he's calling Abraham to be a witness against them. Then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Now they know how old he is. It's not like they're like wondering how old he is, right? He's in his young 30s, okay? Some of you are in your young 30s, right? 50 might be retirement age, right? Don't you wish for 50 years retirement age? Yes. Those of us who are older, it's a fun day. It's a fun time, right? You know, you wake up in the morning, you're young, you're like, I'm feeling good today. I'm feeling good today. Now we wake up, we're like, what hurts today? Like, yesterday my knee hurt. Now today it's my ankle. What's going on here? Okay. You know, it's... What can I tell you, right? So Jesus has told them, you don't know God. And now Jesus seems to say to them, you don't know Abraham. Now, Abraham lived 2,000 years before these guys. And Jesus says, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Well, what does my day mean? I read for 2 hours on that. Nobody could figure it out. Okay? It means that maybe the past or maybe the coming of the Messiah. But this I can tell you about Abraham. Like Abraham, like a committed follower of Jesus Christ, rejoice with the reminders of the glory of God. And when we learn a new truth about Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Is that you? Is that me? When we're reminded of great promises of God, when we learn new things about God that we didn't know before, does that light up our soul? Or is it just like, oh, well, come on, Pastor Jim, a little faster. The coffee's getting cold. Let's go, right? But we're almost there. Now, those of you who've been here a while, you know, when a pastor says we're almost there, that means nothing. So, okay. The debaters are like, you're not 50 years old. They know how old he is. He's 32, 33. Now, I would say 33, but, you know, you say, no, Christmas is coming, so we don't know his real birthday, okay? So they're just mocking him. And so here Jesus has demonstrated, you know, maybe Abraham is your descendants of Abraham, but maybe he's not your spiritual father. He longed to see me. Now, Jesus answered them, is very serious. You might want to put your seatbelts on. Verse 58 and 59, Jesus said to them, most assuredly, or again, truly, truly, means a lot, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. If you have your Bible, circle your I am. Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through in the midst of them, so he passed by. So this is what we call one of the informal I ams. There's seven great I ams. This is one of the informal great I ams. There's a number of them, the I am statements. So Jesus is saying what? I have divine authority. I've had it all along. I had it from all eternity past. I have it now. Now, if you haven't been with us, the statement I am, ego a me, means I am God. That's what he just told them. Okay, so just imagine a guy's up there talking to the religious leaders who they want to kill, and he goes, oh, by the way, I'm God again. Just to remind you again for the 95th time that I'm God. Okay, that's how God revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush. I am that I am. Could be Jesus saying here that I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob who came before Moses. So Jesus is making a claim of a pre-existence before Abraham, that he's the eternal God that we must trust in for eternal life. This would validate Jesus' claim that he can overthrow death for all who turn to him and trust in him and continue to follow him. Now, we look in verse 59, the crowd considered this blasphemy, meaning this is just, they're speaking terribly about God. And they took up stones to throw at him, which was according to the law of Moses when someone would speak blasphemy. The religious leaders would say at this point in time, if we were to talk to them, that Jesus is leading people astray. That is wrong. They would say that Jesus is claiming to be God. That is correct. They would say that Jesus is claiming to have divine power. That is correct. But they were blind to it, completely blind to it. And at some point in time, God opens up spiritual eyes. I don't even know how it really works, to be honest with you. He just does. And so there, they're not abiding in Jesus' word. They're not living it out. And so Jesus kind of just escapes through the anger. And they've been trying to get him for a while, right? Remember when they sent the prison guards for him? And they come back and they go, "Where is he?" And they go, "No man ever talked like this guy," right? They can't get him because why? What has it been saying? His hour had not yet come. So Jesus' life is in danger because of who he is, the God of the universe, who will die on the cross and rise from the dead in a resurrected body. But many people, even religious people, don't believe. Now maybe, just maybe, some of you right now are starting to see God in a different way than you ever have before. Maybe you've never heard this stuff before. Maybe you've heard it and now somehow the conversation between you and God is beginning to convince you. Well, it's time to stop unbelieving and believe, if that's you. Jesus proved he could raise you and I from the dead. How? Very simply, he died and rose from the dead. He proved he could do it, okay? In a physical and spiritual body. For us, they will be reunited at a later point in time, but he demonstrated for us the way it's going to go. Romans 6:23 says this, "For the wages of sin is death." That's what it is. Sin pays dreadful wages, okay? That is the wages. But the, what's that word? Gift. It's not something you earn. It's not something you do. It's something that somebody else did for you. But the gift of God is eternal life. And how do you get it? He answers it for us. In Christ Jesus, our Lord. If you are not a follower of Jesus, please understand this today, that Jesus offers you the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. That Jesus offers to you that you could be with him forever. And the only response needed by you is simply this: you just need to receive it. And the way you receive that gift, Jesus said you need to repent and believe. Repent is quite simply just to say to God, "I realize, God, I'm going that way. And now I'm going to repent. I'm going to turn." Repent simply means to turn. I'm going to turn to you, okay? And I'm going to look up at that cross. And I'm going to realize that that was Jesus Christ dying for me. You see, that's what we all need to say. We always say, people, you ask people, what does it mean that Jesus Christ died on the cross? They go, "Oh, well, he died on the cross for our sins." Okay? It means far more than that. Okay? It means that when you come to the point in time when you say, "He died on the cross for my sins, for my sins." If the whole world was perfect, Jesus Christ would have had to come to die for my sins. And when you can say that and put your trust in him, you have seen what Jesus has done for you. As you turn to him, you trust in him, and you begin to follow him. And you can even do that right now.
You have been listening to Changed by Love, the teaching ministry of Pastor Jim Kevney. We hope and pray that Pastor Jim's simple and passionate verse-by-verse, line-by-line teaching through the Gospel of John is growing you in your Christian faith. Would you like to hear this message again? Simply log on to our website, changedbyloveradio.org. There, you can listen to archived broadcasts, load our mobile app, as well as listen to Pastor Jim's easy-to-follow verse-by-verse teaching on much of the Bible. Make sure you tell your friends and family about Changed by Love on this station, as well as how to listen to Pastor Jim on our website and mobile app. Changed by Love is a listener-supported ministry that exists due to the generosity of people like you. Just go to our website, changedbyloveradio.org, and hit the donate button in order to partner with us. Your donations help us to produce more shows, purchase radio time, and do whatever it takes for Changed by Love to reach more people with the gospel. We would also love to hear from you. Please email us at changedbyloveradio@gmail.com. In the next edition of Changed by Love, Pastor Jim will continue teaching through the Gospel of John. Please join us at this same time, and please make plans to join us again to be encouraged, comforted, and challenged by the Word of God. When you write to us, please let us know where the station is, and please give us the station's name. Until then, stay close to Jesus, and we know that you too will be changed by His love.